First reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Whakarongo ki te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the Holy Gospel from St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Praise and glory to God. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. I think that's the wrong one. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast. Yeah, it is the wrong one. 22. Sorry. On the wrong page. Jesus presented at the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have now dismissed your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with the wisdom and grace of God was upon him. Te rongapai tene atu kiriti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Lord.
Everybody. Hello, hello. Good to see you. How are you? All right. Yes, I'll just get a few bits and pieces. Okay, just no one being naughty this morning. That's not what this is. I hope you've had a kind of a good summer. We went away for sort of five nights and got the initial bit of that weather. So we went to a beach, but it was all wet and rainy. But we were with friends, so we had a nice time with friends. And since then, it's got way worse, hasn't it? And how many of us have got friends or family up in Auckland? Yeah, who have been affected by the floods? Anyone? Yeah, I just heard from this morning. This morning, my mum let me know that one of my aunties and uncle had their house flooded, and I was really. So it's not good. We need to, keep thinking of those people and doing what we can. Talking of flooding, we had last year in all the kind of storms and rains and stuff, some of you know that our swimming pool got destroyed. So we got this place. We didn't really, we're a bit embarrassed to have a swimming pool, actually, but there you go. There it was, and it was a blessing while it lasted. But the flooding that we got washed away all the sand around the swimming pool, and then the pressure outside the pool was different to the pressure inside the pool, and it cracked, and that was the end of the pool. And so it's been sitting there for nearly a year, just a sort of science experiment, really, or a lovely pond because it's good to look after mosquitoes and other bugs and things like that, provide some space for them. So anyway, a few people in the church, particularly Mark and Mark Jones, they're sitting at the back, and Steve, Mark thought, I've got a load of rubble, and there's a big hole. I'll put my rubble in that hole and get rid of it. And so began this huge project, and a whole bunch of people got involved. And then while we were away, we'd seen a bit happen and got involved in a bit, and then suddenly it was all done, and we were just so blessed. And that kind of kindness is what I think makes the world go round. I really think that kind of kindness is the stuff that lasts. Has anyone seen this film just come out? They're showing it just at our local cinema in Waikanae. The Banshees of Inisherin, or Inisherin, sorry. Yeah, it's quite a... not disturbing, well, I don't know. Anyway, it's a pretty hard film. It's quite funny in places, but it's also pretty hard-hitting. It's a good film. It's well done if you can sort of put up with the stuff. but in it, there's the kindness of one person is contrasted with another character who's quite unkind. They use the word nice. There's this guy, and he's just nice. He's dull but nice. And then there's this other guy who's basically not that nice, but he's an amazing musician. He's sort of cultured. And they live on this island out in the middle of nowhere, off the coast of Ireland. And it's kind of a little bit like small town New Zealand. In fact, a lot like it. So you've got this person who loves his music. He's a violin player, he's a fiddle player, and he plays in the local pub, and he writes tunes. And he says to the other guy, he decides, I don't want to be friends. They were mates. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. I'm not going to spoil the whole film, but I don't want to be friends with you anymore because I've got better things to do. I've decided I haven't got long in my life, and I need to do something that's going to last. So I'm going to write some music that's going to last. And he says to him at one point, who remembers anyone that was kind? You name someone from 400 years ago that was kind, But name someone who's left some music, Mozart, that kind of thing, and they've done something and they've left their mark in the world, but no one remembers kindness, not even into the next generation kind of thing. And that's the argument of the film. It's sort of like, do you do something that lasts and put your mark in the world, and boom, you did something, even if you're a bit of a git, which he is. Or do you just be kind? Just be nice in the language of the film. Just be nice. Whether you're interesting or not doesn't matter. You do nice things for people. You're nice to people. You're kind to people. Is anyone going to remember that? Yeah, and I think it's an amazing, and actually it's the sister. If you watch the film, look out for the sister of one of the guys, because she's the one that I think holds it together, you know? She does, she loves books, but she also loves kindness, loves, you know, and sees the value of it. And you'll see it if you watch the movie, how she copes with it all. But I think the world revolves around kindness, around the love of God. Anne and I were just talking about this before the service as well. And she said some encouraging words to me. Because it's easy to lose our hope sometimes in kindness. You know, when you see all of the horrors in the world. But it is kindness. Kindness lasts so much longer because it's at or near the heart of God. At the heart of God is God's love. And part of that love is his kindness. You know, and that's what struck me over the summer when these people in, you know, some of you guys in the church just filled this hole and made it into something beautiful. What was a disaster. It was so practical, and we felt so blessed and so loved. So thank you, but more than that, it's the normal sort of thing that you guys do for people. And that's what lasts. So I'm going to say something about the passage, because in this passage we've got this really beautiful situation where there's two generations, if you like, or three generations, really. There's Simeon and Anna. And these two people, one of whom is 84, Anna, you know, and the other, we don't know how old, but is very old. They are both old folks, and they are held up as beautiful people in God's sight. You know, Simeon is called, well, they both are, I think, called righteous in the sight of God, you know. And they're held up and they're honored in this role. And then you've got this other generation of the parents, you know, Joseph and Mary coming in with their child, a third generation, which is Jesus. And these three generations meet in this passage, and something happens that's beautiful. Because this goodness, this kindness, this niceness, this way of life that is a gentle but compassionate and strong and giving way of life, meets this new generation, and something's passed on. And Simeon holds this baby, Jesus, in his arms, and he says those wonderful words, doesn't he? Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to your people Israel, or to the nations rather, and the glory of your people Israel. You know, isn't that wonderful? And he says this, and then Anna comes in, and she starts to prophesy and speak about Jesus. And she's been praying in the temple just for, you know, ever since her husband died, and they were only together for 7 years before he died. And then she's just spent a life of prayer and praise to God. And God says, that's good. What kind of mark did she leave? You know, what symphony did she compose or book did she write? Nothing. But she left this mark. She's held up as someone who prayed, and that was worth it, and praised God. And God says, this is good. And then that is an inspiration to the next generation and to the generation after it. And she tells all these people about Jesus in the temple. Isn't it wonderful? So I really love this scene, and I just want to tell you a story about when I was first ordained, and I was in England in this church. It was a church that was the oldest section of it, which was the sort of bit at the front, was 800 years old. So we've got an old church here, but this is like really old, eh? You know, and then they'd added bits onto it, much like we have to our church, you know, which this is the oldest bit, isn't it? And then we've added more. So this one, yeah, 800 years old, and it had this old Victorian, which is only a couple of hundred years old, heating system that was useless, and used to come in, and it was like a cold sink, so it would be freezing and snowy outside, and it would be even colder in the church, and everyone would be wrapped up in gloves and scarves, looking like the Michelin man, and, you know, coming into church. And one morning I was in church and I was just sort of walking up and down. So we actually changed the heating system and put some underfloor heating in. But when we were doing that, we found an old Saxon church, the remains of an old Saxon church, underneath the floor of this church. So that was even like a thousand years or more old. Incredible. But so people have been worshipping in that space for over 1,000 years. And one morning, I was just walking up and down. I was in the church that morning on my own. And just because we did morning prayer every morning in the church. And that morning, it was just me. There were four of us, me, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was walking up and down, and I got to the this bit of the church, which is behind the altar, and there were all these plaques on the wall. It's covered in plaques. The whole church had lots of plaques. We've got a few, but there were some up the front here, and it had a list. I'd never seen it before, of the previous vicars. And of the church. I wasn't the vicar. I was, the associate priest. So the vicar was Gordon, and his name would have gone on the bottom of that list after he'd finished, which he has now. And some of them were there for 10 years. Some of them were there for 5 years. Some were there just for, a year or two. Some of them were there for 20 years. And it went all the way back to, 14-something, wow. Something like that. It was, super old list. It was just incredible. Person after person after person after person. And I just saw all these generations of Christians represented there who have worshipped in that building for, and they've been doing it for over 1,000 years. And they're still there today. And they would have had ups and downs in those times. And it struck me. They would have had some times where the church was full, sometimes where it was nearly empty over that hundreds and hundreds of years. They would have had vicars where everyone was like, oh, we can't wait for this one to go. Oh, phew, we've got a new one, That's not the case for John, obviously. But, and they would have had times where they thought, this is kicking, this is going. They would have had times where a vicar took over and the whole thing exploded and it really went for it. And it was got nothing to do with that vicar. It's because of the hard work of the vicar before him and the vicar before him who had sown the seed. And, and then this new guy comes in and he gets to reap it, reap the benefits, as it were, because one sows and another reaps, one waters, as Paul says. But this is amazing. And it just made me realize, I'm only here in that particular church. I'm only here for, it was 3 or 4 years is what I had, because it was a, position under the vicar and then you go off and you be a vicar yourself type thing. It's your L plates moment, like an apprenticeship, And I thought, I'm only here for 4 years. It's not my job. I'm not the savior of the church. There's someone else who's the savior of the church, and that's obviously Jesus, in case you hadn't figured that out. And I'm just here to carry the baton for a few years and then pass it on to the next generation. That's why I'm here. It's like a relay race. It's going on for thousands of years. I have to run as hard as I can for this patch of time that I'm here. The whole of us, the whole generation that we are, have to run as hard as we can. And then we do that thing, that amazing move. Who's done relay racing? Pretty much everyone, surely, yeah. And you do that bit where you're still running, and as you're running, the next one's coming up, and they're running as well, and you pass it on to her, and she, takes the thing from you, and then you can slow down, and you can't slow down. you can slow down, and the next person takes off with it, eh? I love that kind of idea of a relay race. I love that passing on of the baton. I remember doing those races, and I remember trying to get that bit right, and timing the distance just right, and getting the baton, and then going for it, and then you pass it on to the next person. That's what's happening in this passage, isn't it? We've got Simeon and Anna passing the baton on to the parents of Jesus, to Joseph and Mary, and to Jesus, in a way. Hey. Jesus receives what's before and then runs with it. He used the same words as St. John the Baptist, didn't he? So John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Do you remember? That's John the Baptist's words. And then Jesus receives those words and he uses them. And those are the first words that he uses in his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah. He doesn't make everything, throw out the old and make something new. He receives what went before and then he does something new with it. So there is newness and there is passing on. Now, you can see where I'm going with this. We've got an amazing... Has anyone been down to the beach this summer? Down here, Waikanae Beach? Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's so beautiful. And in the sun. Anyone actually been in the sea? Oh, come on. Good on you. You've done better than me. This morning. Come on. Brilliant. Yeah. I've been in... I'm really sorry to confess, but I've been in the sea at Parapara'umu, but I haven't been in the sea at Waikanae yet. So I need to put that right. But, yeah. You go down there, and there's heaps of people, eh? And there's loads of young families and loads of kids, and there's grandparents and all the generations represented. It's really lovely. And that's who we've got in Waikanae. We've got, you know, the two big cohorts are retired people or nearly retired and young families. There's huge amounts of both. And it's lovely. It's a wonderful place to live because of that. But we want to be those, because if you look around, you know, we tend to be on the older side of that thing, don't we? Is that all right to say that? And we need to be those who are passing the baton on to the next generation. There is so much richness in our churches, in our three churches. I feel so encouraged and blessed to be part of this parish. I'm not saying that lightly, and I'm not making it up. Really do. There are some churches which are a real struggle to be in, and probably most of us have been in churches like that. This isn't one of them. You know, there are so many good, solid people around, so much kindness. I'm just looking at you guys, Sue and Brian, you know, the kindness that you showed to us when we first came to Waikanae in letting us stay in your B&B. It's beautiful. And we just got to look over we could see the whole of Waikanae. And I'm thinking, wow, it's like God saying, and here's where you're coming to, you know. Think about these guys. Pray for these guys as you look out over and see them. So there is so much kindness around. If there's anything that we can pass on to the next generation, I think it is our love of God and the kindness that God's shown us and that we show each other. And I want to see that more and more passed on to the new generation coming up. The thing that struck me, and probably most of us sitting here, the most in my life from the generation before me, that I received all my, character in the Lord from, is not so much the knowledge that they said, you know, oh, and God says it, and you know, I mean, yes, that's super important. But the thing that's really stayed with, that struck me, that has gone into me, body, soul, and spirit, is the way they lived. And the way they lived, the people they were, the character they had. You know? Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's all good. But, you know, that's not me. Because I'm not that good. But we receive, don't we, all of us, each one of us, from the generation before, but from the Lord, don't we? And this is our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus. You know, we receive from the Lord what we can pass on to others. And it might just be a small little candle, but that love for God that each of us has, and the love of God that we feel in our hearts, that we know that God has for us, that's what we've got to pass on. And we have this treasure, as Paul says, in jars of clay. I rang Jan Wright to see if she had any pottery, a jar of clay, you know, a lantern. And she said, well, I haven't got anything like that, but I'd just been to an op shop. her and her son, and they'd just got this. So she said, use that for your illustration. So I did. So it's not a Jan Wright, unfortunately, but it's from Jan Wright. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. We might be a little bit crap, if you excuse the expression. And most of us know we are, don't we? We know our faults. We know the cracks in our lives. We know we're not perfect. It's okay. Because we've got that love of God in our hearts. We've got all the things that we know, the history of our relationship with God and of the things Jesus has done for us again and again and again, and the kindnesses he's shown us through others and directly. And that is what we can pass on to the next generation. There's so many opportunities to do that. And we've got our Godly Play starting next week. That is an amazing opportunity to do that. So is obviously Friday Food Share. You know, there's all these younger generations coming through and older generations coming through. But they're people that we can pass on kindness to. We can show the love of God to. You know, and it's wonderful that we've got that little prayer meeting going at the same time, because then people do come in and get prayed for too and want to share what's going on in their lives, because there's someone who's actually going to listen and bring that to God. Wonderful things, you know. We've got, you know, the Carpety Community Kitchen. We've got our youth group. There's a actual generational passing on thing going on there, you know, as there is with Godly Play as well. And in fact, this year Hazel's swapping things around a bit and making room, because she's been saying, I want to lead the youth group towards the end of last year. And I've been like, going, okay. And in the end, I've given in. But Hazel's, you know, taking on the youth this year with a few other of us, you know, a few of the parents, including myself and stuff, and we'll all be mucking in. But there's a wonderful opportunity. I think you're thinking we want to do something like have meals cooked for the youth, eh? Wouldn't that be cool? And there's an amazing opportunity to be there, to be that Simeon, that Anna, and to pass on something just by being there. And then maybe, you know, we'll be cheeky and ask you a few questions about your relationship with God or something like that. But, you know, there are all these opportunities that we've got to pass on to the next generation. Obviously, Life on Wednesday, and it's great to see how many people are getting involved in that. Just visiting people, pastoral visiting and pastoral care. We have something. We have treasure in jars of clay. Yeah, we're jars of clay. Of course we are. We all are. But we have a treasure. And that treasure comes not from us. It comes from God and from our history with God, our walk with God down the years. And that is so freaking valuable. It is so valuable. That's what got me going, as that was passed on to me. It's probably what got you going. And it's what, as we get our baton, we want to be passing that on to the next generation. Sound good? Yeah. Well, let's do it, people. Should we just pray? Lord, we thank you that you're amazing, that your love is incredible. The kindness that you've shown us throughout the years of our lives is amazing. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your goodness. And in Jesus' name, we ask that you would give us the grace, the power, the energy, the wisdom, the love, and more of that kindness to pass on what you have blessed us with to the next generation. We thank you for all those people in our neighborhood, you know, in this place who want to hear that, who would love to have that kindness, that goodness, the love of God passed on to them. Jesus, give us wisdom as we do this in all the activities, not just the ones in church, but the ones we're involved in outside church as well. Lead us, we pray, as we step out, and help us to pass on the love of God to those around us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, people.